Jesus of Nazareth lived in an uncertain world, just as we do today. At the time, some people reported to him concerning the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices, probably killed by Roman troops while they were in the act of offering sacrificial lambs in the temple, an act of unspeakable brutality. To which Jesus replied, "Do you imagine that these Galileans were sinners more than all of the Galileans because they suffered like this? No, but I tell you, unless you repent, all of you will die likewise." Those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you imagine these deserved this more than all the other people who were resident in Jerusalem? It was evidently a construction accident which unexpectedly terminated their lives. And again, Jesus says, "No, but I tell you, unless you repent, you will all die as they did." Jesus is saying two important things. One, that their deaths were not the consequences of the way they lived their lives. And two, that these people died unexpectedly, but you, to whom he's talking now, have time in which to live differently, time for a reformation of life. They did not have that opportunity. In the last 10 days, we have learned of an act of unspeakable brutality in Christchurch, New Zealand. And this week, we have learned of the sudden death of hundreds of people through Cyclone Idai hitting Mozambique and Zimbabwe. There are, I think, remarkable similarities between these events and the death of the Galileans and the people killed by the collapse of the Tower of Siloam. Unexpected death through human brutality in the death of the Galileans and in the death of the faithful Muslims in Christchurch. Death through events over which no one had control in both the collapse of the Tower of Siloam and in the cyclone which hit Mozambique and Zimbabwe. In all four cases at the time of Jesus and this last 10 days, all these people died unexpectedly. The difference is that you and I have time for reformation of life. They did not. Lent is a time of reformation for our lives. It's a time in which to reflect on our local and global responsibilities. And that, of course, is one of the reasons March has long been associated with the Primate's World Relief and Development Fund, and is the special envelope for both St. John's and the Cathedral this month. St. John's has a great track record of support for the Primate's Fund. In the late 1980s, St. John's initiated its parish partnership program under the leadership of Bill Ashwell, Dorothy Sullivan, and Bob McRae. The parish committed 10% of its income to mission beyond the parish. There were two projects initiated, one with the Diocese of Caledonia in northern BC, and the other in Brazil, enabled by the Primates Fund's partnership with an ecumenical justice and human rights organization entitled SEDI. And there were exchange of people, of Brazilians coming to St. John's in 1991 and 1994, and at least six people from St. John's who visited SEDI projects among those living in poverty in the barrios of Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo. And I understand that through PWRDF in that five-year period, St. John's contributed approximately $10,000 a year through the Primates Fund to SETI. So you have a great history. There is no other parish in Canada that has had that level of engagement of which I am aware. Let me bring you up to date then on the Primates Fund today. You will, I think, already have heard that PWRDF has responded to this disaster of Cyclone Idai in Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Some of you will have seen the television pictures of a vast interior lake that's been formed that's going to wipe out the food production for a large proportion of people in Mozambique. What the Primates Fund is, it has pledged $30,000 for Mozambique and $20,000 for Zimbabwe. You can contribute to that by going to the simple internet address of pwrdf.org. And if you click on the orange band at the top of the website and click on details, you'll be given four different ways in which you can make a contribution if you'd like to do that. The Primates Fund began as the church's disaster response mechanism to the mining disaster in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia in 1959. But fairly quickly, it became evident that many disasters are not, as we think at first sight, random events, but are in fact the predictable consequences of human activity. For example, famine comes when land which should grow food is laid waste by civil war or ethnic conflict. Present cases of that are the Rohingya in Burma, Myanmar, the derelict Donetsk region of Ukraine, and South Sudan. So the fund became committed to long-term initiatives designed to tackle the root causes of disaster. That, of course, isn't quite as sexy and interesting because it's a long-term proposition. Emergency relief gets a lot of coverage on the media for a week or two, and then it fades. What we need are people committed to the long term to address the root causes. So the Primates Fund added international development, human rights, and peacemaking to its priorities. And as I'm sure you're aware, climate change is probably now the principal human cause of disasters, leading to both deprivation of food and the substantial migration of peoples. The Primates Fund's largest project today is entitled All Mothers and Children Count. It's a project in the eastern part of subtropical Africa. It's matched by Global Affairs Canada with a 6-to-1 grant. And the Global Affairs will be providing $17 million over the 5 years of this project. A key component of it is the partnership with the Anglican Diocese of Masasi in southern Tanzania, of which I'm sure you'll have heard because Gillian Hoyer, I believe, was part of the group that visited there last year. It integrates local community action on water, health, agriculture, and education. In 3 years, the infant mortality rate there has been reduced from 117 out of every 1,000 births to 65. A marvelous result of 3 years of work. That is highlighted in the World of Gifts flyer and on the PWRDF website. PWRDF works with partners on the principle that they are best equipped to determine the priority needs of their own communities. International aid is a tricky business because People like to give to something that interests them, but that may not really be the priority of the people that need the help. This means when we give to PWRDF, we quite often give without knowing in advance how that money will be used. But we have a fine professional staff of 23 people with wide international experience based in Toronto who coordinate the projects of the fund in consultation with partners. They are accountable to a 16-member board of directors elected from all parts of Canada for a 3-year term. It's nice to know, some of us like to know anyway, what are the amounts of money really involved? Well, the latest statement of PWRDF, which the latest one was March 31st, 2018, is that Anglicans across Canada gave $4.4 million to the Primates Fund. That was matched by Global Affairs Canada providing $4.2 million. And bequests, people's final gifts to the Primates Fund in their wills, was $1.6 million. The other striking statistic you need to know is that the administrative costs of the Primates Fund in that year were 8.1%. And what that means is that 91.9% of the funds you give to PWRDF in Canada and overseas go directly to the partners and their work. This low overhead is possible because there is such a large Anglican and ecumenical network on the ground. We don't need to send staff to deal with emergencies because partners are there already. We have ecumenical partners in Zimbabwe, an organization called Ehale, and in Zimbabwe called Suro, who are already there on the ground with staff to help to deal with the situation. Some people have asked me, what are the present priorities of PWRDF? I'd like to highlight, I think, the most important three. The first one is food security, and crucial to it, access to clean and safe water, made much more challenging by the effects of climate change in sub-Saharan Africa. Secondly, improvement of maternal, newborn, and child health. Thirdly, gender equality and the empowerment of women. Let me close just by giving you a quick look at three of the PWRDF projects. At Cox's Bazaar in Bangladesh, at a Rohingya refugee camp of 21,000 people, PWRDF is providing food distribution, nutrition education, technical skills, seeds to set up micro gardens, the planting of trees and pathways. 15 bathing facilities were created with locks for women's safety, hygiene kits provided, and education on issues such as gender-based violence and early marriage for young people. In El Salvador in Central America, the people of St. Mart's who test positive for HIV are no longer living in the shadows. Through the work of Elizabeth Membreno, PWRDF partner with the El Salvadorian Committee Against AIDS, there are opportunities for young people to take part in workshops on HIV/AIDS, inequality, gender-based violence, and bullying. Team members provide transportation to help with medical appointments and make sure antiretroviral drugs are available. In the Masaka district of Uganda, Josephine Kitsa heads up St. Jude's Family Projects. It's a training center for organic agriculture, in particular directed at youth. They learn to grow their own food and to gain the skills to ensure their food security. The program includes income generation through farming, tree planting, water management, and soil fertilization. PWRDF supports 210 families in that community improving their food security, ensuring that they now get 3 meals a day instead of 1.5. That's a quick glimpse of the range of the Primates Fund engagement on your behalf. Lent is a time for the reformation of our lives. It's a time in which to reflect on our local and global responsibilities. The Primates Fund is one of the avenues for addressing our global responsibilities. Thank you.